You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, it's Ken Rudin's Political Junkie. Tonight at 7, the Senate voted this week on gun legislation. Is it about guns or is it about politics? That's what Jennifer Steinhauer of the New York Times talks about as she assesses how the issue could play out in November. Plus a shakeup in the Trump campaign. That's coming up tonight at 7 on Ken Rudin's Political Junkie. First, for many residents in Wisconsin, farming is an integral part of the state's culture. But for many farmers, agriculture can be a financial gamble. One issue that highlights the problem is the growing amount of unpaid farm debt throughout the state, especially after the Great Recession. But how can that issue be resolved, and just how bad is it? We want to hear from you on this. Are you a farmer who's struggling to repay debts? Are you someone who wanted to be a farmer but thinks maybe agriculture is too risky? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. You can also email your comments to talk@wpr.org. Joining us now to talk about the financial state of Wisconsin farms is Bruce L. Jones. He's a professor of agricultural and applied economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're also joined by Eric Goplin. He's a semi-retired farmer based just south of Osseo. Bruce and Eric, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Bruce, I'm going to start with you. What is the state of debt for Wisconsin farmers collectively?
Well, it's always a challenge. We've got some debt out there. It's not as bad as it was in the 80s when we had the financial crisis. We have had some good earnings years. Farmers have used those profits to retire debt. But the problem is now that the prices are a little bit lower than we'd like to see, we have some cash flow strains. People who've borrowed money are now looking at some challenges. The good news is the interest rates on those loans are a little more affordable than what they were, say, 20, 30 years ago. But still, when you're having cash flow problems, it's still a challenge.
Where do the cash flow problems stem from? What's changed?
Well, it's over the course of 3 or 4 years, grain prices started falling in about 2012. After 2012, corn and soybean prices dropped. So that started translating into cash flow problems for grain farmers. Milk prices held and were pretty good until this past year. Then they dropped at a pretty significant rate, and they've stayed low this year. And so the cash flow problems of dairy farmers have been the last 2 years. And so that's showing up now in terms of a buildup of debt and a fallback in repayment rates.
So what do farmers and individual farms do when they have a cash flow problem and they need to keep up their operation costs?
Well, in the short run, they may go out and start pulling down cash reserves to stay current on their loans. So once they've exhausted those cash reserves, then they're going to have to start talking to their lender about an operating loan to stay current on the rest of their debts. There comes a point when we have to say, no, we can't continue to generate operating loans to provide that credit. And so the next step is to start trying to refinance some of your assets. And so if you own land and you've got equity in it, and the good news is there is a lot of equity available in the countryside due to for most farmers, they'll go in, renegotiate their mortgage, put the cash flow needs on a longer payout, and try to buy some or get some short-term relief. But that debt will only get repaid if cash flows recover. And so that's the gamble you're taking. You're saying, all right, I'm going to restructure my debt in the short run in hopes that things will improve, then I can pay these loans back.
Now, are those lines of credit, are the loans pretty easily accessible right now, or is it getting tougher?
As the cash flow problems continue, the lenders are going to have to be a little more cautious in extending the credit. And then once the prospects for a turnaround in prices start showing up, then they can start easing up on the credits that they would be extending. But right now, everybody's kind of in a hold and wait see mode.
We're talking about farm debt in Wisconsin right now with Bruce Jones, professor of agricultural and applied economics. And also joining us is Eric Goplin, a dairy farmer based south of Osseo. And Eric, I want to get you in on this conversation. Now, you've been a farmer for years. You're semi-retired now. Initially, why did you want to be a farmer?
Well, we have a very interesting situation here. Our farm has been in the family since 1870, and it was just something that I grew up with. My dad farmed, his dad farmed, et cetera, and it was just in my blood, and that's what I chose to do.
Do you see it as an economic gamble doing farming, or has it been a steady sort of income over the years?
Well, it's definitely a gamble every year. You've got things beyond your control, the usual prices, weather, absolutely always weather. And so, yeah, that's always there. Just, I guess I personally, we just sort of played it cautious all the time and made it. I've seen a lot. The inflation of the early and mid-70s, the high interest rates of the early 80s, the drought of 88, that was a, wow, that was an experience. And then some more roller coasters in the 90s and until now.
What is it like weathering some of those storms that you talked about in the 80s, especially? You talked about the drought. What is it like to be a farmer when you have those moments where there are factors that are, frankly, just outside of your control?
In 1988, of course, I had my dad to refer back to because he farmed in the 30s. So he knew all about the drought. And that was really a just exist type mode. I mean, we took, they released acres for CRP, so we got forage enough to get the cows through. And, but I mean, we skimped. We really did. But we survived.
And it was rewarding enough that even though you had these moments, you wanted to keep going. It sounds like it was a way of life for you.
Well, absolutely. It's a way of life. And I have to say, too, that I married well. We had off-farm income. So that always helps, too, to keep the household going and those type of things. So, but, yeah, it's definitely in my blood and... And in my sons, too, obviously. So,
and Bruce, Eric describing some tough times over the years. Obviously, he loves it and didn't want to give it up. But what is it that keeps farmers going when the going gets rough? And what happens when they decide they've had enough?
Well, what keeps them going is that they're trying to keep a family business going. I think it's a lot of the incentive that they're seeing the challenge of trying to make sure that this thing's successful. And they see... like you said, you have to be a little optimistic to be a farmer. And so you say, all right, 88 is a challenge, but it's got to be better than 89. If I can get through 88, I'll see better times. And they came. The other thing you do is you're thinking, all right, when is the time to pass it on? If you got another generation that's ready to take over the farm business, you start transitioning them in, starting to giving them more management responsibilities. You may become the person who owns the land, but helps becomes the landlord for the next generation, etc. But then there comes a time when you're either going to turn it over to the next generation, or you start saying, no, there's other things I want to do. I'm going to sell the farm, and I'm going to use that equity to do some other things.
Are we at the point, you mentioned the debt problem, a cash flow problem for farmers right now. Are we at the point, Bruce, where you think we could start to see some of these farmers and farm families having to get out of the farming business?
Those things happen all the time, not just here, but in these times, but they've been going out in other times as well. And so, the challenge becomes, picking the right time that, if I can still refinance this farm and I can continue to cash flow this thing, I'll keep going. But yeah, there will be some times when just through natural catastrophes and bad events, you just can't extend the credit anymore. And the idea is to make sure that you can work through the situation so that the family is not put in dire straits, that rather there's some equities there to live on and start transitioning to a different life.
Well, I want to ask you both this question. Do you see, we'll start with you, Bruce, do you see the moment that we're in now with these low commodity prices and rising debt? Do you see this as similar to the bumps in the road that we've been talking about that Eric mentioned, or do you see anything different about this that could be more concerning?
No, this is what we've got through things like this before. The question is the duration. I mean, we're dealing with low cash flow. The question is, are we going to see a rebound? If we start seeing cash grain prices recover, if we start seeing milk prices recover, we start seeing cash flows improve, we work our way through this. The other thing to note is that there is a lot of equity in the countryside. We can see land prices start dropping in value and still not have persons inadequately secured to the point that they can get loans. And so we've got the means to work through this. The question is how long we're going to be dealing with it.
And Eric, what would you say? How would you frame the particular moment in farming right now with these low prices and the debt rising?
I would agree with Bruce that it's definitely a part of the game of farming. Interesting to note, I have a chart from the Upper Midwest Marketing, and milk, which is right now $12.10 to $12.40, first hit $12 a hundredweight in 1980. So these are things you hate to see it happen, but this is something that does happen. And yes, the duration, that also is something that could really hurt you. With that said, the futures I did read now are going to get up to 16, so that'll help. And as far as debt, if you can, you know, you just have to be resourceful and try and think things differently than trying to just to go borrow more money. But on that note, always be in contact with your lender and let them know what's happening and what your intentions are. And I think pretty much it always works out to the good.
We're talking about the growing debt the farmers face in Wisconsin right now with low commodity prices. And we're joined by Bruce L. Jones, Professor of Agricultural and Applied Economics at UW-Madison, and Eric Goplin, a farmer based just south of Osseo. And we want to hear from you on this. Are you a farmer who's struggling with debt? What relief could you use financially, and do you see it on the horizon? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation about the growing concern surrounding the growing debt for farmers, especially following the Great Recession. And we want to hear from you. Are you a farmer who maybe wanted to expand operations and is now having a hard time paying off that debt? What has that experience been like? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Bruce L. Jones is with us now, Professor of Agricultural and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. We're also joined by Eric Goplin. He's a semi-retired farmer based just south of Osseo. He runs a dairy farm. And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Patty on the line in Lake Mills. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Veronica. I'm a dairy farmer in Lake Mills, and I just wanted to call in to discuss what we're trying to do on our farm. When the years were good in 2014 and the beginning of 2015, that's when we bought newer equipment and things like that, and we were able to just pay as we go. We didn't have to take out a loan on any of those. But then for, like, to feed the cows, we buy in a lot of our commodities, and we try to contract a lot of things. That way we keep our feed costs low for the cows, and we just play smart. Right now we're not buying any equipment, and we're not trying to do any major expansions until we see a brighter future for milk and grain.
And so far, Patty, is what you're describing, is it interfering with the running of the farm, or is it more of a tightening of the belt?
We're tightening our belt. We try to plan ahead. We know we'll have a bad year, so we try to position ourselves to be better for these bad years. My husband and I were younger generation that joined the farm, and so we do have some heavy land payments that we bought 500 acres, and we're trying to pay that off. And so we, you know, that portion has to get paid every month, and we try to make sure we have enough for that, and then allow money everywhere else, wherever our debts are.
Patty, thank you so much for calling and sharing your family farm's experience with us, and good luck to you. And Bruce, what do you hear when you listen to Patty's story?
Patty, is very representative of what's gone on in many farms across the state, that when people were generating profit, they were retiring debt or salting away cash reserves, or they were making capital improvements in anticipation that this was the time to do it. And so now what they're going to do is say, now the cash flow is not as strong. Now we're going to postpone any capital purchases that could be potential problems for us. And then we're going to work our way through it. Then when prices are improved, then we'll start building back cash reserves and anticipating another year like this.
Patty, thanks a lot. We go next to Clarence, joining us in Watertown. Hi, Clarence.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Professor Jones. I've heard you speak a number of different times at extension seminars and stuff here in Jefferson County. He is the person that told me to value my own time. I haven't put much of a value on my time when I was much, much younger. But, yeah, we are in the dairy industry. We are caught at very, very low return, negative returns, really. But, you know, this is not something you get in and get out of. And as I told you, we are trying to transition to the next generation. We got one of our children started in farming, and we're working on getting another one started. They're working for basically starvation wages in exchange for equity in the cattle, and that will give them some leverage when they go to the bank and say, you know, they need money to work into the operation. But I really feel consumers don't understand the risks we take and the low pay level. And actually, you're basically working for nothing. Many wives go off the farm to get a job, and for nothing else for the health insurance, because we can't afford it. You know, we have to pay all our own. Ours was $1,400 a month.
Clarence, thank you so much for sharing what you've gone through. And got a couple new generations, his kids coming up in farming. We're hearing that also with you, Eric. So in these tough times that Clarence is describing, is that something that has resonance with you about why farmers stay in it and what it means to get that next generation? And even though it might not be the most lucrative job you could choose, it is farming. It's what people choose here in Wisconsin a lot of the time. So, Eric, what do you hear in Clarence?
Well, yeah, both Patty and Clarence, I hear all that they say, and I echo everything that they say also. I mean, it's the same. To get the next generation, it's a thought process, it's sacrifice, it's hard work, the starvation wages, I sort of got a chuckle out of that, yeah, that's part of it too. And with my son, he is currently paying for the personal property. He doesn't own the farm yet, so he's renting the farm. And he, like in 2014, yeah, he was in the good, you know, and now it's gone the other way. So he's experiencing that too now. So, but he's still making a go of it. So good luck to you, Patty and Clarence. I feel for you.
And Eric, just briefly before we go to our next call, I mean, both you and Clarence, we just heard from, both have family members willing to step up of the next generation children. Is that typical? Do you think, are farming families able to get the next generation involved usually?
Well, what I see around here in Osseo is there is a genuine movement for young men wanting to farm and trying to come up with any way possible to do it. They love farming. They grew up on the farm, and they want to see it make it work. So I think it's something that maybe might come to fruition as far as another generation taking a hold and getting it done.
Eric, thanks. And Bruce, you looked like you wanted to chime in there.
Well, I want to just make a point about the challenges that farm families have when they're trying to pay themselves. That when they make that loan payment on the mortgage, they're building equity, but they don't have the cash to start covering family living expenses. And so one of the dilemmas and frustrations that the farm families feel is they're building equity, that they're increasing their wealth, but they don't have a lot of cash to work with because the wealth is in the form of land and cows and things like that. And so a farmer told me years ago that farmers will live paupers and die millionaires. And boy, he was right on in terms of the situation that people face.
Another quick call. Mike from Poinette. Mike, hi.
Hi, I was just calling to ask, you know, there are a couple industries like banking and farming that seem to go through these long boom times, but then when the bust time comes, they don't seem to endure it as long as you would think, given that they were making $9 a bushel in corn or, you know, billions of dollars over the years before. And so I'm wondering, with the infrastructure that farming has, the farm bill, crop insurance, why is it that these bust times, you sound the alarm right away when for years money has been made?
Mike, thanks for that. And Bruce, very briefly in our last minute, how would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say a lot of farmers back in 2011, 12, 13, when they were generating strong profits, were in fact retiring debt, were in fact building cash reserves. And so this past year, the cash grain farmers for a couple of years have been drawing down those reserves, so they're starting to borrow money. So they anticipate these things. It's just that the cycle has been that they built some reserves and then they had to use them right away.
Well, thank you a lot for that call and for all the calls. And remember, if you couldn't make it on the air, please go on the Central Time Facebook page and let us know what you think over there. And Bruce and Eric, thank you both so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Thank you.
That was Bruce L. Jones, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. Also joining us, Eric Goplin, semi-retired farmer based just south of Osseo. They were joining us there to talk about farm debt in the state of Wisconsin. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.